Why do we warn people against labeling themselves and attaching themselves to labels? And yet the practice of naming is so wonderful. And this is what the science says.
Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Hey, listener, welcome to episode number 78 of Blissen Up. Have you ever noticed how a single word can change everything? It could expand you or it could limit you. It could open a door or it could close a door. It could lift someone up or it could bring them down. Words are powerful and they must be used wisely. One of the things I focus most in my work is making sure that the language you iterate into this world is meaningful, purposeful, and expansive. And that's why today's topic is so important. I want to talk to you about naming, which is the second step in my Live with Intention framework. Living with intention is a practice of noticing, naming, and nurturing your intentions as you move along in your life. And naming is a crucial step in the process. However, I have a question that has been lingering for a while, and today I'm going to share the answer with you. Why is it that sometimes names can be so expansive and other times they can be restrictive? Today, I'm going to share with you the difference. And the difference is in naming versus labeling. So before we get into the science behind it, I want to share with you how I was even introduced to the power of naming. This started years ago, long before I was coaching or in this business. It was as a result of taking a parenting course. It was called Positive Parenting Solutions by Amy McReady. And she had these tools that she taught parents in having positive relationships with their kids. So one of the tools that she had was a spending one-on-one time with your child, and she gave it a name. She called it mind, body, and soul time. And the intention behind this time was to spend one-on-one time with your kid, be fully present and engaged, and do something that the kid enjoyed. That was the whole point of it all. Well, when I was introduced to this concept, I loved the idea of naming your time with your child, because it went from spending quality time with your kid to creating something that felt sacred. And because I was so enamored with that idea, I got creative and decided to name my time with my children uniquely tailored to each child. So that was when Mustin time, Mayan time, and Mommy time was born. And it was the first time that I had named an intention. My intention was to spend quality time with each one of my children one-on-one. And the name for that time was Mustin, Mayan, and Mommy time. Ever since I created that name, I began nurturing that intention mindfully. And every day I was careful about creating space in my day to nurture Mayan, Mommy, and Mustin time. And as the years went by, that time became even more expansive as I found creative ways to nurture that intention. It was one of the best things I have ever done in my life, in my relationship with my children. And it was the beginning of this journey without me even realizing it. Fast forward, in 2019, I was at the summit of greatness and I had just named my year for the very first time. I had chosen a word of the year and I was introduced to the company My Intent. My Intent is a bracelet company where they inscribe your intentional word onto a bracelet and you get to wear it. And they had a kiosk at Summit of Greatness and they were making bracelets for people. You would give them your intention and they would make the bracelet. Well, ever since I saw that bracelet, my life was forever changed. I decided that I would name my word of the year every year and I would inscribe it into this bracelet and I would wear it all year long. And it became such a powerful practice that for years I've been hosting vision casting workshops and vision board workshops. And I always have my clients name the word of the year and I make them a bracelet for them to wear for the year. What I noticed by doing this practice of naming the word of the year and putting it on the bracelet and using it all year was that it narrowed my focus. It anchored me into the word. It gave me direction. And actually, as a result of zooming in, my life was expanded. Why? Because those names also took on a life of their own. The intentions became bigger than what I originally intended. And I spent the year learning more about this word that I chose, learning more about why this word chose me, learning about how I can expand the word to make my life better and more aligned and more meaningful. These were the two game-changing practices that led me to create this Live With Intention framework that I was able to develop and discover as a result of living these practices. But now we bring it back to that initial question that was tugging at me, which is, why is naming so expansive and powerful when we warn against labeling so often? If naming is such an expansive practice, then what's wrong with labeling? What is at the surface, under the surface of labeling? Why is it that one of them is something that we should be careful with? Like, you never want to label someone anxious or depressed, or you label your knee the bad knee. You know, when you label something, you restrict it. So why do we warn people against labeling themselves and attaching themselves to labels? And yet the practice of naming is so wonderful. And this is what the science says. Naming is a conscious act of awareness. It helps us identify, relate, and connect without boxing something in. Labeling, on the other hand, is our brain's shortcut. It categorizes and closes the loop. It says, this is what it is, end of story. Our brains are wired to categorize things quickly, which helps us make sense of the world. But that efficiency can come with a cost. In a 2007 study from Psychological Science, neuroscientist Matthew Lieberman found that when people named their emotions, activity in the amygdala, the brain's fear center, decreased. They literally started saying that you have to name your emotions to tame your emotions. That's where that came from. But then, by contrast, neuroscientist Norman Deutsch explained that repeated labels strengthen neural pathways, which make it harder to rewire your behavior. So when you label yourself as anxious, for example, you start to fuse identity with an emotion. And then the brain is hardwired to treat that label as truth. So basically, naming expands, labeling limits. That's it. Naming expands, labeling limits. And then I'll take it a step further. taking it from the scientific perspective to the spiritual perspective. Wayne Dyer, may he rest in peace, used to say that the name of God is I am. I am is the truest expression of God. When you attach labels after the sentence I am, you are misusing the sacredness of God. You are using God's name in vain. So if you say, I am anxious, I am worried, I am fat, I am ugly, I am depressed, I am terrible with relationships, you know, when you use these words, you are decreasing the divinity of the word. You are limiting the divinity of I am. So even beyond the scientific reasons as to why we shouldn't label things, the spiritual part of it discourages you from labeling yourself as well. Honestly, I've seen labels create exclusion. When you label a group, you often exclude people from that group, right? When you label yourself a certain thing, it's to the exclusion of everything else. And sometimes that gives us a sense of belonging, so we use it sparingly. But other times, it creates limitations around our lives. And that's something that's important that we want to focus on. So here's a practice that I want you to think about this week. Notice what labels you are using in your life. Catch yourself. Pay attention to when you say, I am, and what follows those words. Are they in support of your highest version of yourself? Are they expansive words? Or are they limiting words? Are they wiring your brain to limit your possibilities and your potential? Then reframe with curiosity. So for example, if you're feeling anxious, instead of saying, I am anxious, you can reframe with, I am experiencing anxiety. I'm noticing that there's anxious feelings coming up in my body. Play around with that. And then name your intentions, not your limitations. In this podcast, we name our seasons, we name our months, we name themes, we name our word of the year. We use names to expand our possibilities, to anchor us, to give us direction, to keep us focused on our North Star, to create alignment in our lives. But we are not using them against ourselves. We are not using them to name limitations, label limitations. So one of the easiest ways to understand how to use naming instead of labeling is describe, don't define. Notice when you are describing something as opposed to when you are defining it. I feel sad is a description. I am sad is a definition. Use words that describe what you're feeling, who you're becoming, what you're experiencing, what you're seeing, as opposed to limiting yourself with labels that don't tell the full story. My friend Betsy the other day in her life coaching school used this example, and I think it's a great example for this podcast. She talked about when you are describing a bird, and when a little kid sees a bird for the first time in the air, and they look up at the bird and they're like, oh my God, look at that. There's this thing, it's flying, it has wings, it's black or red or blue, it's gliding through the air. You know, they don't know what the name of this thing is, you know, the label of this thing is. So they describe it with all its attributes. And then their parent will say, oh, that's a bird. And once you know that that's a bird, you will forever call it a bird, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if somebody asks you to define a bird, what comes to your mind? It could be a blue jay. It could be a cardinal. It could be I don't know, whatever other name of a bird there is. You can't define a bird just as a bird. The better way is to describe the bird that you are defining, using it to expand my understanding of the bird instead of limit it. So this is the last Sunday of October, and we are getting ready to close out the month and name the new month. So for this week, I invite you to notice what did October look like for you? In my case, my theme for October was orderly October. So I'm going to spend some time in reflection to notice what was orderly. What am I proud of? What order did I bring into my life? What do I want to carry forward into the next month? I invite you to do the same with your intention. I had clients this month that named their intentions open October, orderly October, playful October, optimize October, opulence October. There was so many words that my clients used this month for October. This is the time, this is the week for you to notice, how did that word expand you? What did it mean? Does it mean the same thing today as it meant when you first started? Pay attention, notice, write it down, use this time for reflection. And then next week, we're going to name November. But in the meantime, maybe you can start thinking of, what is your November going to look like? What season are you in? What do you want to celebrate and carry with you into November? What energy do you want to step into? What identity do you want to adopt in November? What are you feeling? So I want you to start thinking about these things. And then next week, we will officially name November for the Listen Up Collective. And of course, you are always welcome to use my name and my theme to expand your life, or you can adopt your own, because there are no rules. There are no limitations. There are only rhythms that we follow. Rhythms in support of living an expanded, aligned, and meaningful life. So I hope that this episode has served you, and that it will encourage you to continue to name your intentions and live a life that sparks bliss. Happy Sacred Sunday, and I'll see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at @carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.